Hello, my wonderful friend. It's me, Inara, and I am so grateful you're here today. You know, the magic book and I have been holding space for so many parents who are navigating something that feels really scary right now. Your child is eating only a few foods, and you're watching their little body lose weight, and your heart is worried. I see you. I truly see you, and I want you to know that you're not alone in this, and there is so much hope ahead. Before we dive in, I want to say something really important. If your child is losing weight, please connect with your pediatrician. This conversation is about understanding and support, but medical guidance is essential when nutrition and growth are involved. You're already doing the right thing by seeking information and help. That's beautiful. Now, let me share what the magic book and I have learned about children and their relationship with food, because understanding what's happening can transform everything. Here's the first thing I want you to know. When a child eats only a very limited range of foods, they're not being difficult. They're not trying to make your life harder. What's actually happening is that they're navigating something on a spectrum, from what we call typical selective eating all the way to something that might need more support, called avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. And research shows this is surprisingly common. Between 13 and 50% of children experience some form of selective eating at some point in early childhood. For children around ages 5 and 6, their relationship with food can be influenced by so many things. Some children are incredibly sensitive to textures, tastes, smells, or even the colors of foods. Their sensory systems are taking in so much information, and certain foods might feel overwhelming to them. Other children might have a lower interest in eating overall, or they might have had an experience that made eating feel scary, like choking or feeling sick. Each child's story is unique, and each one deserves our gentle understanding. Now, here's something that research has shown us that I think will bring you some relief. When parents respond to selective eating with empathy rather than pressure, children develop better relationships with food and stronger emotional regulation skills over time. Dr. Christina Camerata from Nemers Kids Health emphasizes that parents should avoid pressure to eat and instead use something called graded exposure. This means your child might need 10 to 15 positive experiences with a new food before they're ready to try it. 10 to 15. That's patience, that's love, and that's exactly what helps. The University of Bristol did this beautiful longitudinal research, and they discovered something fascinating. Pressure to eat has what they call a bidirectional relationship with selective eating. What that means is that when we pressure children to eat, it can actually make the selective eating continue longer. And I know that feels counterintuitive, because when you're worried about your child's nutrition, of course you want to encourage them to eat more. But what the research shows is that gentle, patient approaches work better than pressure. So what does gentle support look like? Let me share some approaches that align with what experts recommend. First, create a calm, predictable mealtime environment. Children feel safer when they know what to expect. This might mean eating at similar times each day, sitting together as a family when possible, and keeping the mood at the table pleasant and warm. No battles, no negotiations, just connection. Second, offer new foods alongside familiar safe foods without any pressure to try them. You might put a tiny portion of something new on their plate and simply let it be there. No comments, no expectations, just exposure. Over time, with many, many exposures, curiosity can grow. Third, involve your child in food preparation when possible. Sometimes, when children help wash vegetables or stir ingredients, they become more interested in tasting what they've helped create. There's something magical about participation. Fourth, model your own enjoyment of varied foods. When children see the adults they love eating different foods with pleasure, it plants seeds of possibility. You're not lecturing, you're just living your relationship with food in a way they can observe. And fifth, celebrate any tiny step forward without making it a big deal. If your child touches a new food, or smells it, or even just looks at it with curiosity, that's progress. That's their nervous system learning that this food is safe. Now, I want to share something from the magic book that connects to all of this. We have a story called The Crystal Temple of Gentle Care, where two friends named Kenji and Miva discover a magical salt cave where crystals glow brighter when they practice gentle self-care. They learn that their bodies are precious temples deserving love and respect. While this story isn't specifically about eating, it teaches something foundational. When children learn to see their bodies as precious, as deserving of gentle care and love, that mindset can extend to how they think about nourishing themselves. After you read this story together, you might talk about how eating foods that help our bodies grow strong is another way of showing our bodies love, just like the gentle care Kenji and Miva practiced in the crystal cave. The story creates a framework of body respect that can support your conversations about nutrition in a way that feels empowering rather than pressuring. I also want to acknowledge something that the research shows. Children with persistent selective eating do tend to consume less variety, particularly fewer vegetables and fruits, which can mean lower intakes of nutrients like iron, zinc, and dietary fiber. This is real, and it matters. But here's the hopeful part. For most children with patient, supportive approaches, eating patterns expand naturally over time. And for the smaller group of children who need more support, early identification and help from feeding specialists, dietitians, and therapists can make a tremendous difference. If your child's selective eating is affecting their growth or causing nutritional deficiencies, a multidisciplinary team can provide targeted support. This might include medical monitoring, nutritional supplementation if needed, and feeding therapy that uses gentle, evidence-based approaches. Most children can be supported at home with family involvement and consistent positive strategies. The key insight that runs through all the research is this: this challenge is manageable, it's treatable. And with the right support, children can develop healthy, varied eating patterns that support their growing bodies and minds. I want you to hear this, my wonderful friend. Your child is not broken. Their body is communicating something important, and your job is not to fix them, but to listen with love and respond with patience. You're already doing that by being here, by learning, by seeking understanding. Some days will feel harder than others. Some meals will feel like victories, and others will feel discouraging. That's normal. That's part of the journey. But underneath it all, your child is learning, growing, and developing their relationship with food at their own pace. And you're walking beside them with love. The Magic Book and I believe in you. We believe in your child. We believe in the power of gentle, patient, evidence-based approaches that honor each child's unique needs and timeline. If you'd like more support, please explore the Book of Inara app, where you'll find stories like the Crystal Temple of Gentle Care and so many others that teach children about caring for their bodies with love. And remember, you're not alone in this. There are professionals who specialize in feeding challenges, and reaching out for support is a sign of strength, not weakness. Sweet dreams and nourishing meals ahead, my wonderful friend. With love and starlight, Inara.